Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, hello there. Good morning to you. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show, and it's Mayor Thursday. And I have a guy that looks like he's 55, but he's a little older than that. Chris Hart is here, mayor of Ivan City. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thanks for coming in, man. No, you look great. Man. You really do. You must keep yourself fit and active. And we were talking about retirement a minute ago, and you technically could have retired a long time ago, but you're just still going.
I just don't know how to stop.
I got to say this. Having been in athletics, you know, covering sports for years and years and years, there's many a coach that once they retired, they ended up passing away because they just didn't. I mean, that was them. That was who they were. And when they stopped coaching, they didn't have anything anymore. And that was it for them. So, yeah, if you're happy doing what you're doing, keep doing it, man.
Yeah, there's always something to do, too, even if you retire from your career. There are still other things to keep you occupied, and I think that's important.
Yeah. Like being mayor of a city. That seems like kind of a big one, but...
Well, that's one option.
How long have you been mayor now, Chris?
I'm in my 15th year.
15 years. Yeah. All right. Have you had anybody say, get that bum out of office, or are you still in pretty good favor among the people?
Well, I got elected last time.
Okay.
But you know what? There are always people that,
that are
tired of you. And there's a philosophy out there that the term limit idea that really you should only stay in office for a certain period of time. What I learned early on, because I didn't intend to extend this long, but things happen slowly in government. So if you have goals out there, plan on it taking two or three times as long as you might expect to try and get them done.
And then sometimes the government will change the rules on you, and something you thought you were going to accomplish, for instance, the Northern Corridor.
What
the federal government has done really in changing, really giving their word and it getting set up and ready to go. Does that hurt Ivins at this point not having that? I mean, it's a dumb question, but yeah, obviously it hurts Ivins not having that alternate route from the freeway instead of having to go through St. George.
Well, as St. George continues to congest, you know, as populations increase in western St. George and Santa Clara and Ivins, that northern corridor route east to west is going to become increasingly important. What the models show is that eventually we'll be waiting two and three cycles at the lights going through St. George. And the irony in all this is that cars idling at traffic signals is not a healthy thing either, right?
No, it's not.
So, and we don't have a lot of options. As you know, the supplemental EIS calls for a review of all the options that were out there before. There are those who believe that there are others that have been unexplored. But so far, the alternatives to the route that comes through the reserve all impact St. George City in a really negative way. And so if there is an alternative that doesn't impact the reserve, then I'd love to see it.
Let's have it, yeah. I've always kind of had an issue with it. There are people, though, that complain about something but don't have a solution. You know, it's easy to whine about, this ain't going to work. You guys are a bunch of idiots. And, well, if you really feel that way, that it's not going to work and that your leaders or whoever idiots, show us a better way. We would love to see it.
Well, what I think is unfortunate is when the facts get ignored. Mm. In this case, the criticisms included that the tortoise population was going to be harmed by this, that the roadway could not be built without killing off tortoises, that there was no suitable mitigation for this. And all of those issues really got addressed. There mm-hmm. are ways to build a roadway like this, and through culverts underneath the road or bridges over to allow the population to continue to migrate between the two zones, if you will, that the road separates, and all the protocols that are in place to build anything in an NCA like this are such that they're not going to be driving bulldozers over tortoises.
Right.
And then with the Zone 6 concept, with these this massive additional area of protected habitat, that was way, way, way beyond any reasonable mitigation for the impact of the road coming through, which amounted to, you know, roughly 100 acres.
Yeah, like you said, way beyond, what, 60 times the size of, or something like that, yeah.
So it kind of boils down to a couple of things. Philosophically, there are many who oppose the Northern Corridor simply because it penetrates an NCA. It goes through a National Conservation Area, and that hasn't been done. So I get that, you know, precedents are can be dangerous things.
Yeah.
But most of the other objections really aren't grounded, in my opinion, at least in the facts.
And most of the critics don't have solutions either, or at least not rational solutions. So, well, hopefully, eventually, this will happen. Obviously, it's not going to happen by the time there's a certain golf tournament that's taking place in October. But you know what? Let's talk about that a little bit. Black Desert in Ivins, not just a golf tournament, but and I'm not going to say just a golf tournament because it's a big one. It's the biggest. It's PGA. But they're also building a whole bunch of other stuff. What does Black Desert mean to Ivins? And what have you heard from your constituency about Black Desert and what's going to happen there?
Well, Black Desert is an extraordinary resort development. When you're talking a billion dollar investment, yeah, I mean, you know, that's on the scale of the massive resorts in Las Vegas. This has been done very thoughtfully and very carefully. I give credit to the developers for the approach they've taken to this enormous development. They own 300 acres of property in Ivins. They're only consuming roughly 60 to 65 acres of that amount, with the rest of it being conserved. Beautiful lava beds right where it's being built, thus the Black right. Desert name. The golf course is extraordinary. It was the last one designed, you know, by the late, I can't say his name now. Oh, heaven's sakes, Chris.
Arnold Palmer.
No. It'll hit me in a minute.
I know who you're talking, yeah. Anyway, I said Arnold Palmer because I got to meet Arnold Palmer down in Mesquite when he designed one of those golf courses down there. But talk about the concerns people have. I know you had a big meeting about it. Some citizens were like, "Well, what about this and what about that?" What are some of the concerns? Is everyone pretty much on board with in favor of all this? Not that they have a say or could stop it, but how are Ivins people feeling about it?
Well, I mean, it's a positive thing in a lot of ways, right? I mean, the notoriety that comes with this is really significant.
Yeah.
But concerns over traffic and you know, parking, what's going to happen to the city during the week that this event takes place?
Right.
They have limited the numbers of visitors that they're going to allow to be there on site. So it amounts to roughly 7,000 people a day that will be in attendance there, plus you've got the PGA team and the media and so forth. But they've gone to extraordinary lengths to try and figure out how to where to park people and shuttle them in so that we don't have just a continuous flow of cars coming down the parkway and turning into the resort. It looks to me like that they've got it very carefully planned out. Those plans are continuing to be finalized. So by the time we get to the event, I think that they will have the details worked out to the point that it's not going to be as impactful as some people fear.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be a few more cars on the road during that week than we usually have. I think the biggest area of concern are the developments that are adjacent to Black Desert. Across the street, we have the Reserve and Encanto, and those two are concerned about getting in and out of their project, you know, with that level of traffic.
Sure.
So our law enforcement is a part of the planning, will be integral in the way that the traffic is managed and so forth. And we've got a motorcycle team coming from the Highway Patrol to assist us during those few days too, as well as from other jurisdictions nearby.
By the way, Tom Weisskopf.
Tom Weisskopf is
Thank
the guy.
Thank you, Michael, for sending us the answer.
Yeah. That's a little brain freeze there. But, we just recently set that week aside, the week of the tournament aside, as Tom Weisskopf Day, or week, rather. And he's quite a guy. He was a great golfer, won the British Open once. I think that was his crowning achievement. But he's designed, I think Black Desert was his last, his number 73, a golf course, and
wow.
And by his own declaration, his favorite. So that makes it special, right?
Yeah, very, very cool. Tom Weisskopf was a household name. Really.
Yeah, he was.
In a simpler time, simpler day, back when I was a kid, we watched golf every Sunday. We watched Friday night fights, you know, the heavyweight boxing fights, and we watched, you know, racing on Saturdays or Sundays, and of course football season and stuff like that on Saturdays and Sundays. But Tom Weisskopf was a guy. I was like, oh yeah, that's one of the stars of the game. So cool that he's designing that course now. Every mayor I've had on always talks about this, you know, and especially recently with Mayor Staley about income tax and about, you know, they're getting a lot of new businesses now over on exit 13 over there. And he's like, you know, the income tax boon for the city is going to be enormous. Is that the same with Black Desert and Ivan City?
Big impact on revenue. Yes, it's really not an income tax. It's kind of a combination of sales tax, because they've got a retail component.
Sales tax, my bad. Sales tax.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it's not just that. It's also transient room tax. And because of the size of Black Desert and other resort developments that are scheduled to be completed in Ivan City, we likely will qualify for what's called a resort tax. We are kind of a resort community in process, at least. And that allows an additional sales tax component as well to support the city. I mean, a big development like that does have its impacts, right? Both on your infrastructure, on your law enforcement, and,
sure.
and the fire and EMS services. So there needs to be some compensating revenue coming in. Part of that comes in the form of impact fees that they pay, which are substantial. But then ongoing, then the offset is the revenue that comes from these various taxes that they provide.
Does this Black Desert coming like this, does this mean Ivan's is going to explode growth wise and how do you control that if so?
Well, we've been exploding growth wise anyway.
That's true.
I don't know what impact Black Desert is going to have on that. Ivan's certainly is an extraordinarily beautiful place.
Yes, it is.
A lovely, peaceful community and wonderful people that live there. So I think folks that come out would certainly be tempted to buy a home or buy a lot out there. You manage growth really just by through the approval process. It's all market driven, as you know.
Yeah.
Andy, so we don't put out banners saying, hey, come buy a house here. we have to accommodate developers and property owners through the zoning process and through our development requirements, but the number of homes that get bought and sold is really kind of a market driven thing.
Black Desert has I don't know if poached is the right word. They have your police chief is, I guess, going to be their head of security now, right?
Yeah, Chief Bob Flowers announced his retirement a week or so ago, and he's taken a position with them as their head of security. Which is a fantastic transition for us, because there's been concern among some of our residents as to how the security was going to be managed on site. You know, was this going to be just a big problem for our law enforcement folks. Were we going to have somebody there all the time? And we know that we're not. Bob is an absolutely incredible guy.
And you have a guy that already knows the area. Moving in there, yeah, that's perfect.
And I don't know anybody that knows more about law enforcement and security than he does. He's got a fantastic background, as you know.
Do you think with the Black Desert and with the other, you know, like you said, explosive growth, maybe I said it first, but that eventually there's going to be, instead of a Santa Clara Ivins police and fire, there's going to be just an Ivins police department and an Ivins fire department down the road?
Well, so Ivins City is projected to build out at 20,000. I think it'll likely be a little more than that. So let's say 25,000 residents. Santa Clara is a little behind us and won't have that many, it doesn't look like, unless they're able to annex some additional land.
Yeah.
But let's say we end up at, say, 30 to 35,000. That's still not big enough to warrant us separating and handling these public safety services individually. It's been a real benefit to both cities, both from a cost standpoint, but also from a service standpoint, because you can do a little more with a bigger police force. For example, we have services now with the cities combined that we likely would not have if it was just held in house.
Talking with Mayor Chris Hart from Ivins City today on the Andy Griffin Show, of course, on Mayor Thursday. Chris has been here, I estimate, maybe. So I've been doing the show now 5 years, 5 years and 4 months or something like that. And I think I had you on first month or so that I was doing the show. I had this idea when I first got on. Mike used to have the mayor of St. George on twice a month on Thursdays. And I'm like, well, why don't we just turn Thursdays into Mayor Thursday and have a mayor in the area on every Thursday? And so we've been blessed to have, you know, over the years, the different mayors that have come through, John Pike and Michelle Randall, of course, of St. George, and Kenny Nielsen and Cress Staley with Washington City, with Hurricane. We had Mayor, the old mayor of Hurricane, whose name, John Bramall, of course, Nanette Billings. And we've had different mayors from Enterprise and Leeds and, let's see, where else, Tokerville, Laverkin, of course, Santa Clara and Ivins as well. And I appreciate you being willing.
Yeah, a lot of great people who've put themselves out there to serve their communities. And I think they're all great mayors.
And you know this, Chris, being a mayor, you know, when you're a kid, the mayor, oh, here's the famous guy with a bow tie and a tuxedo on, and he's kissing babies and signing things, and everybody loves him, and he's a really rich guy with lots of money, and you know, being a mayor pays so well, and it's actually not really that way. And in fact, in Southern Utah, we don't have any full-time mayors. All of you are, you know, it's a side hustle. It's a part-time gig. It's something you guys do besides, you know, the rest of your life. And I think there's only like two full-time mayors in the state of Utah, right? Provo and Salt Lake, I think, are the only two that are full-timers.
You have to be a pretty big city for that to happen. Yeah. Budgets are tight. And really, frankly, serving as mayor or serving as a city council member or an appointed planning commissioner or whatever, it's really a labor of love.
Yeah,
something you do because you love and appreciate the place where you live. You want to contribute to its future success if you can. And so we've got there's a huge volunteerism spirit that exists down here. And so you have people willing to put themselves out there for public office and serve in a variety of ways. It's a very rewarding thing. Never about money. Yeah, it's a part-time job. Sometimes it feels pretty full-time.
Yeah.
depends on what you have going on in your city. You know, when you have big important issues, you've got to devote a lot of time to trying to work out the bugs.
Mayor Billings Hurricane always says it's not a part-time job, it's not a full-time job, it's an all-the-time job. And I guess that's probably true for you, right? Doesn't matter where you go, you're still Mayor Hart.
You are.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Yes, you are. All right. Well, we're going to get in a weather break here in just a minute. A couple of things I want to take to mention. We're going to talk a little bit about the TuaCon schedule coming up this summer and fall. And also Let's see. There's a reservoir maybe going out in Ivins. Probably going to go in and out in Ivins, but some citizens have some concerns. So we'll talk about that as well after the weather and commercial break. Right now, I want to offer folks, so we were talking about Black Desert and the PGA, but coming up, well, actually starting today, is the Copper Rock Senior LPGA Championship out there at Copper Rock Golf Course in Hurricane. I have some VIP tickets, and what that means is, of course, it'll get you in and get you anywhere you need to go, but it'll also get you into the VIP tent where they have refreshment beverages and things like that. So I've got some tickets. What I need you to do now is call. Stockton over there is going to answer the phone, and if you'll be ready with your name and how many tickets, you can get two or four tickets if you'll call right now, 673-5890, 673-5890. Of course, it's a 435 area code, and we'll get you some tickets to the Copper Rock LPGA. The tickets are for Saturday, so you don't have to worry about missing work or anything like that. The tickets are for Saturday's championship day of the LPGA Senior Championship out there at Copper Rock Golf Course. Again, one more time, the phone number, 435-673-5890. Call right now.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Chris Hart is with me, mayor of Ivan City. We do, I don't know how many do we give away, Stockton? A whole bunch, or we still have a few left? Okay, let me turn his mic on.
Lillian, Ryan, and Bonnie have all walked away with tickets for the tournament on Saturday.
Right, way to go, guy. Way to go. Lillian, Ryan, and Bonnie, did you say?
Yes.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for calling in, you guys. We have more tickets to give away tomorrow on the program. We want you to go out there for championship day on the LPGA Copper Rock Senior Championship. Very cool stuff.
We have 10 more tickets we can give away.
So. All right, 10 more. I got some Club 17 passes to give away too. So we're going to have a lot of fun here on the show giving more stuff away. 934 on KDXU. In Ivins, maybe the marquee place in Ivins would be Tuakon. Is it fair to call it the marquee landmark in Ivan City is Tuakon, but
well, it certainly is recognized, yeah, and a big draw to our city for sure.
Right now, shows are going on. Frozen is actually going right now, I told Mayor Hart, Mayor, it's not really my thing. A couple of young girls singing, you know, and stuff, and not, yeah, but. I'm sure there are a lot.
You're in the vast minority.
I know. I agree. My daughters have given me a hard time. Come on, Dad. Anna and Elsa and the Frozen. I know way more about it than I should because of their influence. But I know that it's a great show. And if you are into, originally a Disney movie and now a play, and that sounds like something that might be fun. And you know what? If you're a really great husband, maybe your wife wants to see it and you go and take one for the team, so to speak, right?
Well, but they've got a really varied schedule of shows this year. It's a fantastic lineup, in my opinion. You know, Fantasia's coming, and Jersey Boys.
Anastasia, not Fantasia. Anastasia.
That's
what you meant. Yeah. Jersey Boys, Ring of Fire, and, of course, around the Christmas season, A Christmas Carol will be there. I love the ones, and Stockton has a name for them. I can't remember. What do you call those? They're the musicals that are really basically rock concerts with some talking in between the songs. We had, of course, Million Dollar Quartet a couple of years ago, Buddy Holly story, and Jersey Boys this year, and Ring of Fire. I love those because I've always been into music since my early days as a disc jockey back in the day, Chris. So looking forward to those. And I'm kind of spoiled. I like the indoor theater, too, and the air conditioning and all that.
But speaking of Tuakon, as you know, they were able to expand their seating capacity to 2,500 now.
Amazing.
Essentially, there's roughly 500 new seats available. And that plays huge to the kind of talent they're able to bring in, particularly in their concert series. That additional 500 seats we're going to see some really exceptional bands showing up there too. So that's fun. And gosh, it's just fantastic the way they were able to design and build that seating in to integrate with the existing amphitheater seating. And I mean, it looks beautiful. It's been fun over the years to watch TuaCon progress, and a lot of good people, you know, supporting them to make sure that happened. But huge impact, huge economic impact on the entire region. So Greater Zion is a big supporter of TuaCon.
Yeah,
we need to make sure it continues to flourish. And frankly, with all of the resort development that's happening out there, I think it's going to be harder and harder to get a seat. So everybody's going to want to get their season passes
that's
early.
That's true. One of my favorite was really kind of not necessarily a big time headliner name, but I went to the Grits and Glamour, they called it last year. It was Pam Tillis and Bonnie Morgan, I think her name was. Anyway, it was two women singing some old country hits and stuff, and it turned out maybe had to do with the seating. I was on the front row, so that was pretty cool. But there have been some fantastic concerts out there as well.
I mean, then you've got the bull riding that takes place. There are not
I don't
many,
know. How, that's amazing. Isn't
not
that?
Many venues that can boast that and a Styx concert in the same year.
That's right. I wonder, do you think they'll ever bring back the story of Utah, the flooding and all that? Do you think that's gone forever? Do you think that'll come back?
You know, I asked that question of Kevin Smith once. He didn't sense that there was a big demand for that to happen, but you never know. I mean, that was, as you know, that was kind of the reason the TuaCon was built, was for that show. And it ran for a long time. I don't know how many years. I'm guessing maybe 3 years or so before they realized that wasn't, there weren't going to be enough folks coming to the area to support that long term with just one show. So.
Pretty cool.
The Broadway in the Desert evolved out of that, and you know, credit to Kevin Smith and their team for being thoughtful in the way they developed the programming up there, because it's now it's, you know, on everybody's radar to go and see a show there when they come to town.
There are also, by the way, some concerts coming to town. The Fab Four, not the Beatles, but a tribute band, as well as Zeppelin USA, a tribute band there. Matt and Savannah Shaw, Casey and the Sunshine Band. Remember those guys?
Yeah, I do.
Thriller is back after taking, it was just 1 year off, or was it 2 years off?
But it seems like it was only 1 year, but yeah. You might be right at two.
Thriller's back right around Halloween, so a lot of fun stuff out there at, again, TuaCon. We also, it looks like I just got a text. Kim also won some tickets to the tournament. All right. Thank you.
Way to go.
Appreciate that. That's the Copper Rock Golf Tournament Saturday. We'll give away more tickets tomorrow and also a couple of Club 17 passes, which is kind of cool. It's like this covered area, and they serve refreshments, and you can watch kind of from up above what's going on the golf course. So that'll be fun as well. If you want to call and just be on the show, you're certainly welcome to do that too. 435-673-5890. And you can always text me at 467-5842 if you want to ask a question of Mayor Hart. Mayor, reservoirs. Ivins has a reservoir, right?
We do.
A little one.
The oldest one in the county.
That's right.
100 years old, by the way.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Completed in 1918.
Here's a real question. Have you been in Ivan's Reservoir?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I have not been in. But the secret is, my wife loves to swim. Like, if there's a body of water and she wants to be in it, I don't think she knows about the Ivan's Reservoir. And so if I don't tell her, then we won't be swimming in it. And
well,
I like swimming, but I don't love swimming like she does. So
we sectioned off a little 4.5 acre piece of Ivan's Reservoir and turned it into Fire Lake Park several years ago. And so that's kind of the swimming hole.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the reservoir, it's a drawdown reservoir for irrigation, right? So as the summer goes on, the water level drops. But there's a lot of kayaking and canoeing and so forth that goes on in the larger part of the reservoir. And it certainly is a beautiful place just to go out and sit in the sand for an hour.
My wife was on the swim team back in the day, and so she can swim. I readily admit she is a far better swimmer than I am. It's not even close. Like, the only way I would beat her is in a swimming race is if we jumped in the pool, I got out, ran to the other end, and then jumped back in before she could get to. That's the only way I would ever beat her swimming. So, another reservoir, Mayor. The Water Conservancy District says we need dry wash to be a reservoir down the road at some point. Some folks are a little worried about that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, the district has had to fairly rapidly develop a realistic plan B to the Lake Powell pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And that plan includes a major conservation effort, which all of the cities in the region here have gotten on board with. And then the reuse program is probably the significant new piece, meaning water is treated, the effluent that goes down through our sanitary sewer system is treated, and that water is treated to a level of cleanliness that it's suitable for human contact.
Yeah.
That's actually what you swim in when you go to Ivan's Reservoir, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But a key component of the reuse system is to have adequate storage, because the whole point is that water is pumped into storage reservoirs during the season of the year where the demand is low. So, right. You know, fall, spring, winter, and then that water is available to be used during the hotter months of the year. So there are two reservoirs proposed in or near Ivan's city, one of them being Dry Wash, which is out in the Kayenta area, and the other being Graveyard, that's kind of on the boundary of both Ivan's and Santa Clara City.
And it has a terrible name that we're going to change, we hope.
Yeah, that does.
Even Dry Wash Reservoir is kind of ironic, and you don't, you know, it's not dry anymore. Anyway, yeah.
Well, so you asked what the concerns are. So it's a beautiful dry wash. Terry Martin, the developer of Kayenta, has had his eyes on that to be part of a trail system going all the way from Hellhole Canyon down to the Santa Clara River. And there's a beautiful rock formation on the east side of that wash that folks would sure like to see preserved. But then there are other concerns that have been brought forward, and our residents have been really active in this process. Many of them are professional engineers and so forth, doctors. And so concerns over the long-term health risk, over having water that has some contaminants in it, being drawn down year by year, and what happens with the dust the dirt, and then thus the dust that accumulates over that period of time. So we're trying to sort out what happens with the PFOS and PFAS, PFOS and PFAS, they're referred to sometimes as eternal eternal elements or whatever.
Yeah, chemicals, yeah.
Yeah, and same thing with pharmaceuticals. And so we're working that through. We have a very high-level engineer that lives out in our city that has brought up some concerns about the reservoir itself, the dam structure, and how that ought to be configured. And so we've, as a city, we want to try and understand clearly what those concerns are.
Don't blame you.
Kind of vet them, if you will, find whatever professional expertise we need to help us determine what the risks are, and then figure out if they're enough to warrant us, you know, not allowing it to be built.
As you said at the start of your answer there, these are reservoirs that ultimately we need here, because what happens, as you mentioned, we have an area where we have low use and oftentimes rain, excess water, but then if that water just runs downstream, it's gone forever. And
right.
So when we get to our high use and our hot time, you know, July and August, if we haven't stored some of that water, then we find ourselves, you know, mid-August, we're running out of water.
Yeah, now both of these reservoirs are fairly small.
Right.
The one that was proposed at Dry Wash was approved at 1,900 acre feet. The one at Graveyard, I think, is perhaps a similar capacity.
I think a little bigger, but yeah.
So they're not huge reservoirs. The one that's proposed out in Warner Valley, for example, is I think 5,500 acre feet. And so, but that big reservoir is stalled out currently in the environmental process. Could take years and years before it's ever built.
Yeah.
So these two smaller reservoirs are a means of getting us through kind of a critical period in the growth of the county, where we're going to need to have some of this reuse system functioning without necessarily the full capacity of the storage that is ultimately planned.
The Lake Powell pipeline, as we probably heard, well, if you listened yesterday, Zach Ransom said that not in my career, course of my career, will it be approved and through what is unfortunately a morass of paperwork mm-hmm. right now, especially by the NEPA and the environmental folks. And he said when he was handed the job from Ron Thompson, he said basically your one job in your career is to make sure this pipeline gets built. And he said that I would be a failure, I guess, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen in my lifetime. So we need these alternative water, not sources, but storage places like the dry wash.
Well, you know, Andy, we live in a desert. You know, this isn't the first time in history that we've suffered drought.
Yeah.
Fortunately, and you know, thank the heavens above that we've had some good water years the last couple of years. But conservation should have always been kind of at the top of the list, and
it kind of wasn't.
In all fairness, it hasn't been.
Yeah.
But our residents have really been supportive of that. Folks are taking out turf and being more careful about water use indoors and so forth. And they deserve a lot of credit for that. I mean, it's astonishing how much water has been saved. For example, our city's grown tremendously, and yet our overall water use for a year has dropped. that's a remarkable
actually,
achievement.
Yeah.
But as you've seen in places like Las Vegas and so forth, the reuse component is another. Just it's a brilliant way to multiply the resource that you have. You use it over and over again. It makes so much sense. And of course, Las Vegas would have stopped growing 25 years ago. If they hadn't brought that element into their planning.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that one. All right, I got to get another commercial break in. My wife texted, by the way, and says, I've been to Fire Lake, Ivan's Reservoir, three times without you, dear. And she said it's beautiful and loves the reservoir. So apparently, yeah, she has been there. I just didn't know. Probably when I'm at a ball, I don't know what she's doing when I'm broadcasting ball games. And sometimes she goes swimming with the girls. So.
Good for you.
We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, 9:53 on KDXU. Snow Canyon, by the way, winning the state baseball championship last week. I got a grand opportunity to broadcast those games on ESPN Radio. And Snow Canyon, I got Ivan's kids living in Ivan's would feed into Snow Canyon High School. And I don't know, honestly, I have no idea how many members of the team were actually live in Ivan's, but I know there are probably a few.
I'm sure.
So congratulations to them, state champions. But it was an interesting, and I don't know if you're a baseball fan or not, Mayor, but it was an interesting kind of development in that you had Dixie High scoring all these runs. They scored 37 runs in three games on Monday through Wednesday. And then you had Snow Canyon. They had given up just two runs in three games. And so when they met each other on Friday night, it was like, okay, the great offense versus the great pitching and defense. Who's going to win? And you know, a good coach once said defense always wins championships, and it was the pitching and defense at Snow Canyon that won it. They beat Dixie 4-2 and 5-2 in the best of three, so they swept them, and it was all about pitching and defense. So congratulations to the Warriors. Yeah, very cool. Mayor Hart, Ivins City, Santa Clara, Ivins Police Department and Fire Department. Response time, are citizens happy? Do they feel like, and we've talked about this in the past, if something's happening to you, it's never quick enough that they, you know, they would get there. But do you know about the average response time and how are people satisfied with that?
Yeah, I mean, there are national standards that are, okay, or at least recommended standards, mm-hmm, that we try to meet. And 5 minutes is kind of the one that's held up there for a medical response and for that matter, a fire response and so forth. So we have one station in Ivins City on Center Street, pretty much dead center in the city. It's actually, mm-hmm, roughly 5 minutes to the farthest most points in every corner of the city. And then the Rachel station services Santa Clara. Frankly, both of them serve both cities, right? But the location of the stations matter, because you have your fire and EMS personnel distributed between the two stations. So whichever is closest will get the response call, and they'll head to a fire or to a medical response first. But the other station also backs that up, so it takes only another couple of minutes from Rachel Station, for example, to come into Ivins, right, and out into the Kayenta area, for example. So a fire response would be let's take a Kayenta example, because that's kind of on the western side of our city.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have a fire response out of our Center Street station would be first. Two or three firefighters would arrive on scene. And then, like I say, two or three minutes later, you'd have the second team from the Rachel station there. And we also have these agreements among the various jurisdictions that would bring St. George City and even up SR 18. There we have agreements for them to come and assist us in a major fire situation.
Yeah, when people hear the term three alarm or five alarm fire, that really actually kind of means something, because that means you may get agencies responding from three or four or five or more agencies if it's something pretty serious and something big.
I can think, for example, in St. George City, just within the last couple of years, there's, mm-hmm, been one or two serious fires where Ivins City's apparatus and personnel assisted in the responses. So it's great to have, right? That multiplies the force when there's a need for it.
And sometimes maybe Santa Clara Ivins will be covering, there's a big fire going on maybe over on the diagonal. They might be saying, okay, we'll keep an eye on this other, you know, maybe the west side of St. George while you guys are taking care of that problem over there. So they're getting each other's back and stuff like that too. So
it's called mutual aid, and it's a really important part of our planning.
Yeah, very, very cool. What's your population now, Mayor? Where are you about, approximately?
I think we've hit 11,000.
Wow.
Now, that's a full-time permanent residence. So
right,
we've got another, I think, if we had everybody in town that had a house there on a weekend, we'd probably be at 13,000 to 14,000.
What about on July 31st, when it's 110 degrees? Is it going to drop down to 9,000, or is it still going to, 11 is the permanent number, pretty much?
Well, I mean, we have folks, we have snowbirds that bail out when it gets hot.
I don't blame
and
them.
Come back in the fall. No, I don't either. It's great if you if you have the resources to do that.
Right.
But I don't know. We've never actually asked everybody to come and check in on any given day to know how many we have in town.
They don't have to punch a thing or anything when they come into town.
Yeah, we got to set up booths at the edges of the city to count.
How is, I'm curious, and obviously I'm a St. George resident who goes to a con on a semi-regular basis. And when the show gets out, there's a lot of traffic all of a sudden. But is traffic, generally speaking, on that Santa Clara Parkway headed out through Ivins, is it generally speaking fairly light, or do you have some traffic issues occasionally?
Well, it bunches up when the parents are bringing the students over to Vista School, for example, in the morning and picking them up in the afternoon. Anytime there's a Tuacon show, the traffic is much heavier.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, it's pretty pretty modest, I'd say, but it's growing.
It's growing.
As we grow, so does the traffic count.
11,000. I had no idea you guys had gotten that big already. That's amazing. I moved to Southern Utah in 94, 95, right in there. And Tuacom was a little blip back then. More than a blip now.
And Ivins was just a blip back then, too. Old Ivins has grown up.
It sure has. Mayor, thanks again for taking your time today to come on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you, as always.
Happy to do it. Thank you, Andy.
9:59 on KDXU News coming up in about 20 seconds of Fox News. And then, of course, I'll be back tomorrow all morning long. And then with the talk show at 9 o'clock, we've got open lines and Mello will be in house.